From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. So Liverpool are Premier League champions, but it's all still to play for in the fantasy world, with 7 game weeks still remaining. How does that title win affect their players going forward? Is it time to lose the Leicester lads and choose Chelsea instead? And perhaps the most differential we've had all season. Well, hello, fantasy managers. The football certainly is back with a bang. 2 game weeks down already since Project Restart. We're already seeing Premier League managers rotating their squads. I hope you're not feeling the early stages of fatigue after a gruelling opening week or so. 3 men who I know are showing no signs of letting up. As someone who, never mind FPL, had a very busy evening of churning out niche Liverpool stats, Duncan Alexander.
Hello.
Someone who is on exactly the same number of FPL points as me. I'm coming for you, Daniel Storey.
And the same to you.
And I am very sorry, gents, but I think our final guest could be a little bit unbearable for the next half an hour or so. The Liverpool supporting of FPL family. It is, of course, Lee Bonfield. Lee, congratulations. Most importantly, do you have a sore head today? How did you celebrate?
Do you know what, Kelly? It was one of the... I am going to be unbearable. That's the first thing to say. I've been 30 years. I've been looking forward to being unbearable. I celebrated on my own with a few beers at home in a very socially distanced and responsible way. The better half of FPL family decided to go to bed straight after the game. So, yeah, she said, "You're going to be unbearable, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." So she went to bed. So I celebrated on my own, Kelly. But I'm very, very happy and very smiley this morning.
Of course, the serious matter for us FPL managers, Liverpool have now won the league. So we're kind of left wondering how this will affect their rotation, their team. They play Man City next Thursday. Daniel, how does this make you view Liverpool now going forward?
It makes me a little bit happier because I have only one Liverpool player and it's Virgil van Dijk, so I don't have any Liverpool attacking players. So every week they play. Kind of the Everton game I was watching on tenterhooks and it was fine. I watched Palace and it was completely opposite feeling, but I feel a little bit more confident now. I'm hoping that they start to bring through some kids.
Duncan, you've similarly not gone so heavy on them. Does this tempt you? Do you think they'll be going for these records?
Yeah, well, I've been pretty strong Liverpool all season until restart, when obviously you can rejig your team, and I got carried away with double game weeks and all that. shouldn't have bothered, really. But so I think I'll be going back into Liverpool. I mean, I don't think they're going to rotate that much. I think they will give opportunities to the bench, but you know, I think Jurgen Klopp recognises that this is an opportunity to kind of set a lot of benchmarks. You know, they can break a lot of records in the next few weeks, and I think, you know, he'll be keen to kind of pen their name in the history book. So I think they'll still rely on the main players. So I'm looking to bring in, you know, the likes of Salah, maybe Firmino as well.
Interesting. Lee, away from Liverpool, sorry, we do have to divert your attention away from it for the purposes of the podcast for just a little while. Other teams that we could be looking at, huge win for Chelsea. I imagine you're also a part-time Chelsea supporter, given what happened against Manchester City. They helped you to the title. Are you tempted by any Chelsea assets after that win?
I am, to be honest, Kelly. Yeah, the way that they've come back from the restart has been pretty sensational. I have to say that I haven't celebrated a non-Liverpool goal quite like the way... I mean, Pulisic was through on goal. I was up and willing him to score. I do like the look of Pulisic. I mean, maybe it's an obvious thing to say here on the pod because he's got 2-2 since the restart, but he looks fresh, he looks ready to go, looks as if he's kind of settling in. And I wonder whether the fact that there's no fans in the stadium, that kind of pressure that maybe he felt being a big money signing, coming into a big club, etc., etc., maybe he's got a bit of freedom and a bit less pressure than he had when he first came in, and maybe that's to his advantage. So I do like the look of Pulisic.
And Duncan, Mason Mount has looked lively as well in the opening 2 fixtures. I saw him live at Villa Park on Sunday, and I have to admit, the way he played made me consider him.
Yeah, I mean, I brought him in because he's obviously pretty good value. I mean, he didn't have the best game of the Chelsea players against City, but you imagine he's going to get opportunities. The thing is, if you looked at Chelsea's bench last night, they had, you know, basically a high quality Premier League midfield just sat on the bench.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's hard to know which ones are going to play a lot. I mean, you know, Jorginho surely will be back as well soon. So yes, it's difficult. Yeah, they've obviously got good players, but Chelsea, you know, probably, well, next season definitely going to have possibly the best squad in the Premier League. So that's good in terms of performance, but harder in terms of knowing who to pick.
Yeah, they've certainly got some attacking riches there, haven't they? Daniel, another man who was back amongst the goals, his first goal of 2020 on Tuesday against West Ham. It feels a bit harsh to say that stat considering he's missed most of 2020. But Harry Kane doing what Harry Kane does best. He's expensive, but all of a sudden we've got to have one eye on him, haven't we?
Yeah, he can. And the important thing, I think, is Mourinho now has the bit between his teeth regarding Kane. He came out with typically bullish defence of his record with goal-scoring strikers. And if we know Mourinho as we do, it means that Kane will probably now play every game and Mourinho will be desperate for him to win the Golden Boot so he can answer that effectively at the end of the season. So I think he's obviously expensive, but you look at Spurs' run and you think, well, there's a potential for a goal a game until the end of the season.
Yeah, Harry Kane is very pricey. 10.9 is his current price at the moment. If you do think that he's going to be more amongst the goals, they do have very good fixtures. We will be talking Manchester United. Don't worry, United fans, if you're wondering why we aren't talking about you, but there is so much for us to get through in this week's pod. Now, a reminder that due to the FA Cup this week, game week 32 starts on Saturday the 27th of June. Your deadline is 11:30 and the game week actually runs all the way through to next Thursday, ending with Manchester City versus Liverpool. So now let's take a look at some of the fixtures that are catching our panel's eye. Come on then, channel your inner mystic, Meg. Where are listeners going to find points in this game week? Which games are catching your eye and which players? Lee, I'm going to start with you, and this is probably a very predictable pick.
I'm going to go for City versus Liverpool. I mean, for me, that is the fixture of the weekend. Even though things have been decided, and obviously Liverpool champions now, I don't know if I've mentioned that yet, but I still think it's going to be a great game. And I still think that once or twice. And I probably still will mention it a few times before the end of the podcast. So, I mean, the league is done, but Liverpool will want to go there and stamp their authority on it. They'll want to go and, you know, win it in the right way and put a performance on. I actually agree with what Duncan was saying at the beginning of the pod there. I don't see that Klopp rotates a lot. I think we will see time for some of the younger players. Nico Williams came on for a good cameo against Crystal Palace. I think Harvey Elliott came on as well. And I think the fringe players, Minamino and Origi, will get minutes. But I don't see that Klopp goes into that game with the guard of honour and the nature of the game and the status of that game globally. He will want to put out, I think, more or less a first 11. And from a Man City perspective, could be the opposite. We've seen plenty of rotation, particularly with the 5 substitution rule now from Pep Guardiola. But the interesting one for me is Mahrez. I mean, started all 3 of the games so far and obviously has returned pretty well, particularly in that second fixture in the middle with the 2 goals. So, let's see. I think it'd be a great game. Who do you pick from Man City? Very, very difficult. I've got Kevin De Bruyne in my team and I think he's the only one, and I think he'll stay as the only one. And I have Salah in my team who'll stay probably for the rest of the season, given I think he'll get minutes. So very much looking forward to the game.
Yeah, De Bruyne, a player that all of us have in our teams. Duncan, how much did it throw you when you saw that Pep Guardiola lineup? No out-and-out striker. I think there was a few people with Aguero out injured. I know you had Aguero in your team. I think a lot of people thought Jesus would surely start.
Yeah, you can never second-guess Pep. I mean, he'd obviously, you know, suggested he might even play Gundogan as a false nine. But then he's also suggested he's going to let Edison take penalties, and that never came off either. So you can't trust him, to be honest. But I think they're going to, you know, they'll be up for this game. They'll have to give a guard of honour, which is always painful for the deposed champions. But I think Kevin De Bruyne definitely looks keen to try and, you know, beat that Premier League assist record, and he started scoring goals as well. So, you know,
what a free kick that was, Duncan, the other night. Sensational, I mean, wasn't it?
That goal, that end at Chelsea this season, seeing the Rashford free kick in the cup and then that one, it's charmed. But I think De Bruyne's my sort of key City asset, I think. I think he's going to play as much as he can for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, he does feel like he's an essential pick now in FPL. Daniel, which game is standing out to you?
I'm going to go for Brighton Manchester United. United look to be the team that has clicked more than any other since the restart across kind of both of their games. I know they only drew against Tottenham, but having come from behind, they probably should have won the game. I'm feeling a huge sense of regret that I didn't take the 4-point hit and bring in Anthony Martial into the team. I can't quite believe he's still around the £8 million mark. I have Rashford and had him captained, so I have already made my transfer, so spoiler alert on that. But yeah, Manchester United for me. I think their run of fixtures is so that both at both ends of the pitch, both clean sheets and those attacking assets. The only question, I think, is whether you stick keep faith with Bruno Fernandes while Paul Pogba's back in the team.
Does it worry you at all that they are away from home? I know we don't have crowds and fans inside stadiums at the moment, but Brighton really haven't started too badly, taking 4 points from their opening two games.
No, I mean, that does worry me slightly in that Brighton couldn't have had a better start after lockdown, not just their results, but the results below them as well. But I just think there's a Manchester United's tails are up. I think they'll look to score early, which some teams haven't done. You know, we've seen teams sit back, whereas against Sheffield United, they were really trying to push forward quickly. And that Rashford-Martial partnership, it just looks to be clicking at the moment.
Duncan, what about you? Any particular matchups that are catching your eye?
Well, I've been looking at Arsenal-Norwich for a few reasons, because I think there'll be goals in this game. Norwich have, you know, started particularly badly since the Premier League's come back, unfortunately for them. Arsenal, as we know, haven't been great. They've actually, behind Sheffield United, they've given up the most chances based on expected goals. But they did obviously keep a clean sheet in midweek. Rob Holding coming back looks to have, you know, shored them up a bit. You know, they've got options like Aubameyang, who, you know, does look like he's as good as ever. And then they've got players like Eddie Nketiah as well, who, you know, is scoring. He's got a really good record when he starts games. So I think this game is going to... I wouldn't go too... You know, wouldn't double down on defensive options for this match, but I think in terms of forwards, I think there will be goals.
Do you think Aubameyang is looking as good as ever, Duncan? For me, he looks a little bit off of it actually since the restart. And players like Eddie Nketiah, you can get for a cool 5 or 6 million cheaper. It looks a lot better.
Yeah, I just mean in terms of the numbers, he's still doing. You know, he's been pushed out to the left, but he's still kind of doing what he needs to do. You know, he's been a kind of mainstay for my team for the last few months. Obviously most of those with no football, but I still think he's going to get chances. You know, Arteta isn't going to rotate him. You know, Lacazette used to be a really good option, particularly in home games for Arsenal, but he seems to be pretty much out of favour other than coming on for a few cameos. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with Aubameyang definitely, but I've also got Nketiah and Saka as well.
Daniel, you've still got Aubameyang, I notice. I wondered what you're thinking of doing, because obviously this is a really nice fixture. Are you then maybe considering his time's up? Is this his final chance to show you he can get amongst the goals?
Yeah, it's like you've been reading my notes, because I've written final chance down and it does feel like that for me. I mean, I can't in all good consciousness bring out an Arsenal striker when they're playing Norwich at home, so he has to stay in. And I think I'll probably give him the final chance with the armband as well, because if I'm going to have him there, he might as well be captain. You know, I would be deeply regretful if IA took him out, or B didn't make him captain and he scored a hat-trick, which, let's face it, is not out of the question this week. But yeah, it is last chance, because he is oh so expensive. And it's those expensive strikers, when they don't score, it feels like it hampers the team as a whole.
Lee, I looked at your team as well, and I'm a little bit jealous because you had the foresight to put Saka in. I imagine you bought him in because he was cheap. He started all three since the restart, 4.7 million. He looks an interesting pick as well.
Yeah, Saka looks great, doesn't he? Yeah, he was a guy that I bought in because he was showing some form before the break. So my wildcard that I played a couple of weeks before the break had Saka in it. Didn't have him in game week 30 because I had a free hit, but he's come back into my team now in 31. And I'm pretty happy to have him. I think the budget Arsenal picks, as I mentioned before, Nketiah and of course Saka, look just as threatening as the Pepes and the Aubameyangs and the guys that are going to cost you a lot of money. So I actually think there's real value in that Arsenal side. And without wanting to scare Daniel too much, don't forget that Arsenal have got an FA Cup tie on the horizon. So there could be some rest and rotation around that FA Cup tie, given that the league is not looking great for them. So I'm not going to say Aubameyang rested for Norwich, Daniel, but it could happen.
Ooh.
As soon as you say, I'm not trying to scare Daniel, I know that you are definitely trying to scare Daniel.
Don't let him scare you. He's just being a taunting Liverpool fan today on the podcast. I'm not sure who booked him, but we need to have a word next time. I won't ask you, gents, what you think of Norwich assets, because to be honest, even their most popular ones, Pukki, Cantwell, even they don't look dead set starters anymore as well. But anyway, that is the short term dealt with. Now let's look to the long term, if you can call it that, in this quickfire end to the Premier League and Fantasy Premier League campaign. It is time for the long view. But Well, all the best fantasy managers know it's not just about looking to the next game week. You need to have a strategy in place for the coming weeks as well. So hopefully, guys, you can give us some pearls of wisdom about how you plan on attacking the end of the FPL season by picking out some teams that are catching your eye with kind runs of fixtures. We've already spoken about them in the previous section. Duncan, Manchester United, it's so difficult to look beyond them, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they look to have, you know, finally hit the ground running. Solskjaer obviously has had time to work with them, which people weren't entirely sure whether that was a good or bad thing. But, you know, having Bruno Fernandes, I mean, the thing with Bruno Fernandes is I bought him straight away because basically I was struggling towards the end of January, and he's been brilliant. And he really has been a catalyst. I mean, I saw a few United fans saying, well, has anyone ever seen a player come into a team and transform them like this? And kind of, they might remember Eric Cantona, kind of did a pretty similar job back in the 90s. But yeah, he's a kind of a must-have for me. But then I'm going to bring in Rashford as well, I think, and possibly one other. Yeah, like you said, the fixtures are good. They look confident. Pogba's back. Yeah, the good times are back, sort of, apart from Liverpool being champions.
You don't have to sound quite so unenthusiastic about that, Duncan.
I think I'm going to create
a rule. No more mentioning Liverpool champions for all our sanity.
No, I don't like that rule, Kelly. Sorry. See you next week.
See you later, Lee. Anyway, it did make me wonder. I picked Rashford. I was on my wild card last week. I bought in Rashford. And then seeing Martial get his hat trick did make me wonder if we'd gone for the wrong striker. Daniel, I know you were tempted by Martial before the last game week. So I imagine this is a bit painful for you. How did you feel when you saw him hit that hat trick? Do you think that maybe we should all have been paying a lot more attention to Anthony Martial?
Yeah, the story of my fancy Premier League life this season is picking players after the horse has bolted, and I'm probably going to do exactly the same with Martial. I actually was a little bit lucky because Rashford got two assists, which is not really his bag, and so I kind of got away with it because I had him captain and managed to get 18 points out of it. But yeah, I probably have gone after the horse has bolted, and you know, I hope Rashford comes good now, but I do think it's time to kind of double or even triple down on those Manchester United attacking players.
And also in defence as well, looking really appealing. Do we now need a Manchester United defender, Lee? Harry Maguire, perhaps Aaron Wan-Bissaka? He got an assist, 11 points, 2 assists and 5 clean sheets in his last 7.
Yeah, they do look pretty good defensively as well as going forward. It's tough to pick amongst the attacking players. I agree with the guys in terms of Fernandes and Rashford, the usual suspects, and you should be doubling up. But I think you could complement two of those with a defender and go triple Man United. I mean, they've got the form, they've got the fixtures, which is the perfect blend. That's the recipe we look for FPL success, isn't it? Form and fixtures. So I think for me, if I was going to go for somebody from the back, it would be between Maguire and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Aaron Wan-Bissaka has come on leaps and bounds, actually, in the last few game weeks, certainly just before the break, who's starting to look more attacking and has got now a couple of assists to his name. So we're starting to see the Wan-Bissaka that we know of FPL yore, right? When he first came onto the scene, I think he was a 4 million defender at Palace, and he was getting forward, getting assists left, right and centre. And we're starting to see that now. Now he's at Old Trafford. And Harry Maguire, you know he's a threat from set pieces. And Bruno Fernandes does deliver a very, very good set piece. And in that previous game, you know, every single corner and set piece where they were looking for Maguire's head. So I think of the two, I think I would just about fancy Wan-Bissaka, given the change in game and the change in dynamic in terms of attacking threat. Yeah, but don't overlook Maguire as well.
Daniel, where else are you finding value? Because we can't just load up on Manchester United. Have any other teams impressed? And also, when you look at their fixtures, do you think, yes, I need players from a certain team?
Yeah, I'm all about Wolves at the moment. I think Lee's absolutely right about the form and fixtures. But the other thing towards the end of the season is looking for teams that are playing opponents who have very little to play for. And Wolves have got Villa away in the next game. And after that, they play the five teams between 8th and 12th in the league. And I kind of think with them pushing for that Champions League spot, maybe even top five for the Champions League, the fact that they are playing the likes of Burnley and Everton and Crystal Palace, I think those are the teams that might be playing in flip-flops. And therefore, that added kind of incentive. You know, Wolves have got double clean sheet already. Jimenez is scoring. Traore is assisting. And I think there's a potential to go for a Jimenez, Traore, maybe Matt Doherty, triple Wolves.
Well, if there's one team that looked like they're already playing in flip-flops in the sense that they're not playing very well, it's Leicester. They're only taking 10 points from the last 10 games. They keep dropping points late on. they've still got a lot of the top half to play in the remaining fixtures. You know, Jamie Vardy has been on 99 goals for a long time now. Earlier in the season it was very much, you know, pick. Well, I think I had three Leicester assets for months, but I'd be looking to get rid of most Leicester players now.
Looking at other players that have been really popular in FPL so far, that maybe their fixtures are about to turn slightly. Danny Ings is someone that I had. I took him out for Pookie for game week 31 plus. I don't want to talk about that, but I nearly brought him back in, but I didn't. I went for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Looking at Southampton's fixtures now, they've got Watford away this weekend, and then they face Man City, Everton and Man United. So it gets a bit trickier. Are we concerned about Danny Ingsley? Do we still think he's valuable in FPL?
I think he's always going to be valuable, isn't he, at that price bracket? And he's one that we've loved to love over the course of the season, Danny Ings. But I do agree with you. I mean, if I look at the fixture ticker there, they're right down there with some very, very difficult fixtures. Watford away, you know, is a tricky fixture. Any team going to Vicarage Road is difficult. And then it's City, Everton, Man United. So they are tricky. The one thing I will say about Southampton is that they're in that kind of bracket of teams in the middle of the league where I think at the beginning of the restart, I kind of questioned their motivation. And I think we're seeing that in terms of the sporadic results they've had. One good win, one good, one bad defeat. So let's see what sort of Southampton we get maybe in the Watford game as to whether we'd want to invest in Danny Ings or frankly anybody else in that Southampton team over that difficult fixture run. For me, I've got, I think, three forward players that I can think of straight off the bat that would fill those front three forward spots. And none of them are Danny Ings right now. So I think there are better options, Kelly.
7.2 million if you are tempted by Danny Ings. It is Watford away up next. We've looked at teams and fixtures. Next up, it's Essential Differential. Essential Differential, the section of the show that points out players with ownerships of less than 10%, otherwise known as FPL's hidden gems, and the section that pretty much always makes me wish I was a little bit braver to actually pick them. Come on then, Daniel, who are you going to try and tempt us with this week?
I'm going to try and tempt you with Phil Foden, who has scored two goals in his two games since the suspension was lifted. He's 5.2 million. He's owned by only 1.3%. And I think of all the teams towards the top of the league, City are going to be the ones that rotate in the Premier League because of FA Cup and Champions League commitments on the horizon. And it feels now like Foden is finally stepping into that David Silva space. I think Pep will want to give Silva the kind of send-off, and he might well start a couple of matches. But Foden constantly looks bright and, most importantly, really has, you know, the incentive to try and impress. And he's playing this kind of advanced role on the left. So, yeah, I like Phil Foden.
Any concerns that he wasn't in the squad against Chelsea?
He was a kind of injury doubt for that. Pep basically said he was kind of a doubt and he obviously didn't play. But I think he will be fit post FA Cup. You know, he might well get a short run out in the FA Cup and then be back ready for the league, but I think when he's fit, Pep probably picks him.
Also, I don't know really why I tried to get you to look into the future and look into Pep's brain there, because as we know as FPL managers, that is nigh on impossible. Lee, what about you? I always enjoy your left field picks. Who are you going for this week?
Well, this one is slightly less left field, given that he's come back with a bit of a bang from Project Restart. So Eddie Nketiah for Arsenal. I mentioned him before in terms of being a real budget enabler up front there and potentially somebody that you might want to bring in instead of Aubameyang. I feel like Arteta is going to use the rest of this season to really have a look at the likes of Nketiah and Willock and Saka. And we've already seen all three of those guys do very, very well. Of course, the goal he got against Southampton was a bit fortuitous, did come about from a goalkeeper mistake. But listen, he's in the right areas and that's what you want from a striker. 4.4 million, only 2% selected, in reasonable form. And then obviously in game week 32, it's Norwich at home. So a really nice fixture. After that, the fixtures get more difficult. So for a 1 week essential differential, I think Eddie Nketiah looks really, really good.
Duncan, some people have backed him for quite a while, haven't they?
Yeah, my son actually plays for the team that Eddie played for when he was a kid. So I've been a loyalist for most of the season, actually. So, he's just shown he can do it when he's asked. And obviously Arteta has put a lot of faith in him. And I think he'll continue to do so for the rest of the season. Isn't it?
Yeah, and at 4.4 million, you do wonder if you could keep him beyond the next game week and maybe you could just sit on your bench, because 4.4 million really isn't expensive for a forward who is getting quite a few minutes. Now, Duncan, I asked Lee for a left field pick. He didn't go as left field as I was hoping. Don't let me down here.
No, I mean, I will always go possibly two left field, if anything. But I've been looking at... I never thought I'd say this sentence, but I've been looking at Newcastle United's attacking threat recently.
Wow.
And, yeah, exactly. Mm. I think Joe Linton could be a decent shout.
Not
a goal machine, but he has scored one since the Premier League restarted. He's had as many shots as Raul Jimenez since the Premier League came back. And, you know, looks a bit refreshed, dare I say. And you've also got Andy Carroll, who's become this kind of... Well, A, looks like he's from about the year 1820 with his new facial hair. And also is turning to, you know, really creative player. You know, came on as a sub against Villa. So one of those two. I mean, basically, if you could combine those two players into one player, you'd have a very effective Premier League forward. But that's both against the rules and science. So... I think they're gonna come up with something in the next few weeks, so worth a look at.
Maybe all of a sudden Newcastle United are becoming interesting assets. Of course, I had a Newcastle defender and goalkeeper, and they conceded late to Aston Villa. Always the way. Well, let's now see.
Ouch.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Let's actually instead talk about your plans for game week 32. Let's look ahead with our transfers and captains. Well, no rest for the wicked. We may have a slightly longer wait, kind of, between the end of game week 31 and 32, but you guys have already been busy tinkering with your teams. Daniel, I'm not too surprised to hear the transfer that you've made.
Yeah, I think I brought in Anthony Martial, but within 2 minutes of his third goal going in against Sheffield United. Partly because I was annoyed at myself for not doing it earlier, and partly because I was worried about the price rise. So yeah, Martial in for Todd Cantwell, because I'd kept $3.5 million back for that game week. So it means I could significantly upgrade. And normally I make the player that comes in my captain, but I'm going to go captain Aubameyang this week and keep the faith.
Yeah, he does seem like the obvious captaincy pick. I'm a little bit concerned. As I said at the top of the show, we are locked on points. The fact that you can do such an outrageous transfer, Cantwell, all the way up to him, makes me a little bit concerned that you are actually going to overtake me. Lee, what is the transfer that you've made? And this is one that I'm surprised you have stuck with for this long, and one that, personally, I kind of doff my cap to you, but equally, I think I cannot believe you didn't do this earlier.
Well, I'm kind of annoyed at myself, really, because... You know, Diogo Jota was showing a hell of a lot of good form before the break. So I thought, I'll back him coming into the restart, knowing that, and I said this on previous podcasts and on the FPL show, that Jota historically takes a bit of time to get up to speed and get up to form. But I stubbornly stuck with him, and actually he's just got hauled off on the hour mark for a couple of games in a row now. I stuck with him in game week 30 into 31 because I saw a stat that suggested he'd had a lot of touches in the box in game week 30. So I thought, you know, must be FPL points in 31. And then, of course, Jimenez pops up with the goal again in 31 and Jota gets dragged off on the hour. So at the end of that Wolves game, I straight away did Jota to Jimenez. So that is a transfer that I've done. It's locked in. And not having Jimenez was hurting me too much. I'm very pleased to have him. I'm also considering a second transfer. I'm kind of disappointed with the form of Ismail Assar as well since coming back. He did okay in 30, but it was pretty anonymous in 31. So I have the money in the bank.
You
to
and
do...
me both, Lee. You and me both.
Yeah, it was a disappointing performance from, you know, Watford full stop. And Ismail Assar was pretty anonymous. So Assar to Pulisic... for a -4 could be something that I do for game week 32.
I'm very jealous and kind of envious of how much you guys have in your banks, because the price difference from Jota to Jimenez is 2 million. Jota is currently 6.3, Jimenez 8.3. Jimenez's price is just skyrocketing at the moment, understandably. But of course, he does look like a dead set starter no matter which game, which team they're playing. Nuno really has his faith in Jimenez. Duncan, you said your team needs surgery. What's the first operation you're performing?
Well, the first operation will be taking place in Catalonia because I need to get rid of Aguero. So probably bring in Rashford, but sort of half tempted by Kane just after this chat.
What about Joe Linton, Duncan?
Oh yeah, obviously Joe Linton. He's my assistant manager, so he's, you know, that's fine. And as mentioned earlier, I want to get some Liverpool attacking assets back in, so probably going to bring Salah in, I think. So maybe Rashford and Salah to come in, I think. So not bad pair to bring in.
I get the feeling that there is going to be quite a lot of similar teams. A lot of people now realising that certain players are becoming essential, it seems. Jimenez, Rashford or Daniel going for Martial could be a really good option. Who's your captain going to be, Lee?
Yeah, so having Bruno Fernandes captain really didn't work out for me this week, although I am going to stick with Manchester United. I was kind of disappointed with Rashford's 9 points. I think he could have got more, actually, in that game week. There's a couple of opportunities where he had a lot of half chances in and around the box. So despite the 2 assists, could have had a lot more points, Rashford. So I think I'm going to go with the Man United forward as captain, although the romantic in me thinks that the emotion of the league win and the handbrake bringing off and the freedom that Mo Salah and co might now play with at the Etihad may come to the fore. So at the moment, Salah is my vice-captain, but the title-winning romantic in me, I don't know if I've mentioned that, Kelly, but the title-winning romantic in me really wants to back Salah for captaincy this game week.
I banned you. Yeah, and it is quite tricky with Salah as well, as I realised this week, and my late panic to make him captain. If Salah has a good fixture, if he is a good option, not captaining him is so bold because so many people do captain him. Duncan, what about you? Once you've made your transfers, who's going to have the armband?
Yeah, well, Salah is tempting, as we discussed. I'm also toying with Trent as captain as well, because I think City's defence has been pretty ropey all season. They've given up, they gave up a massive XG against Chelsea, over 4 goals on XG. And Liverpool probably even more good going forward than Chelsea. So I think this could be a bit of a coronation at the Etihad. And if so, we
yes,
saw last season.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nelly. And we saw last season, there was that, although Liverpool lost this game, which ultimately cost them the title and an unbeaten season. If you remember, both fullbacks had brilliant games. The goal actually came from a brilliant crossfield pass from Trent to Robertson, who then crossed it in. So I think, you know, Alexander-Arnold could have a really big game. And I don't think many people will have captained him. So yeah, that could be my left field shout.
You say that, but I think Trent is becoming a more attractive option as captain. I think also what we've learned there is Daniel is the most set on his captain. He's got his strategy in place. He's learnt from the Martial debacle.
Yeah, and when Aubameyang is rested, as Lee predicted, I will be crying into my laptop.
Sorry, Daniel.
If I had Aubameyang this week, I nearly held him actually, but I didn't because I was wildcarding and I needed the funds elsewhere. But I do think he is probably the standout option if you have got him. Watch him now be rested. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on today's show, but there's so much FPL content for you to get stuck into. There are articles aplenty. There is also the FPL show and FPL FYI. They can all be found over on premierleague.com. And set your alarms. I have to because I forget. These deadlines are easy to miss, but it is your last for around a week. Have those teams fit and firing by Saturday, the 27th of June, 11:30 a.m. UK time, ahead of Aston Villa versus Wolves. We hope it is a points-filled game week 32 for you, and we hope we have been of use to you. Thank you for listening, and my thanks also go to my guests, a jubilantly bomb-filled Lee. It was great to share this moment with you.
Thanks, Kelly. Yes, despite you trying to censor me, we're very happy to know.
Duncan Alexander, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And Daniel Storey, I hope you have a more successful week after what happened with Anthony Martial. I really feel your pain.
Yeah, the lead ahead of you is coming, I'm afraid, Kelly.
Oh, actually, no, I don't feel sorry for you. I hope you have a terrible game week. But listeners, I hope you have a great one. We'll be back next week.